This morning I want to talk to you on the subject, moving forward and forgetting Egypt. Amen. Moving forward and forgetting Egypt. Now, most of you all are aware of the context that we're speaking from because we've been doing this for several weeks now. When we're talking about Egypt, I want you to understand some things. When the children of Israel, the Bible says that they were in Egypt for 430 years. Let me see if I can find you this morning, because see, some of us don't think we can identify with Egypt. Okay. Let's do this. When Joseph went to Egypt, he became the prime minister of Egypt. When Jacob came into Egypt, Joseph gave him Goshen, the best part of Egypt. But the Bible emphatically says there rose up another Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. So in other words, what was good before is no longer that way now. So they begin inside of a bondage environment. The Bible says that God saw their suffering and their affliction. So it wasn't that they were having a good time in Egypt. It was a time of suffering. It was a time of affliction. It was a time of bondage. It was a time of them being maltreated, going through some things. Now, if we're not careful, the way we have gone through something or have experienced something can affect us moving forward. In other words, you could not be in that situation, but still be affected by that situation. So what I want to talk about is moving forward, but forgetting Egypt. You ready? Yeah. Philippians 3 and 13, to give you some context. The Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." You know, somebody says it's hard to drive forward looking in your rearview mirror. See, you can't spend all your time looking back expecting to go forward. Well, I can't believe they done this to me. That was 20 years ago. When you going to let it go? Well, I don't think it was right. You know, the late Bishop Lockett told a story once, and I never forgot this, just how it helped me. He said that this certain gentleman had done something to him. You know, done something that they maybe shouldn't have done or whatever, like all of us. Somebody does something, and then, you know, you praying and, God, what they done to me, that was wrong. He said the Lord said this to him. He says, "Has it stopped you from being blessed?" And he had to stop for a minute. He said, "No." He said, "So why are you worrying about it? Has it stopped you from being blessed? So why are you worrying about it?" See, some things we just don't forget it. We say we're moving forward, but we take Egypt with us. Well, let's moving forward and forgetting Egypt. Go with me to Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. And I'll give you my first point. I'm going to find you today. Don't worry. Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, New Living Translation. I love this. Hallelujah. "Then the Lord said to Abram, 'You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. He says, Abram, you can be sure of that. This ain't no doubt. I'm letting you know what's going to happen. Watch this next verse. Now, but I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end, they will come away with great wealth. So God already lets them know, lets Abram know what's going to happen when his descendants get into Egypt. So what am I saying? I'm going to say this and we'll kind of move on. Our suffering and affliction has a release date. Do you know God made this date before them folks was born? All of the suffering, all of the affliction you're going through, it has a release date. And watch this. Not only does it have a release date, God said he was going to deal with the people who was doing the affliction. It ain't even up to you to handle it. Let's walk through this thing here. Okay, y'all, here we go. Now I need you to tune in. So God determined how long Israel would be in bondage, right? 430 years. God determined, I got to make sure you get this. God determined how long Israel will be in bondage, right? Who determined it? So God determined how long Israel would be in bondage, but Israel determined how long bondage would be in them. See, our suffering and affliction has a release date, but how long are you going to keep letting it bother you? You determine that. That's your call. I can't get over that. Why not? Oh, well, okay. So God brought the Israelites out of Egypt in one day, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of the Israelites. How long is it taking God to get the stuff out of you that you won't let go of? Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. And we're moving forward. Exodus 13 and 3. The Bible reads, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Isn't it amazing when you look at the text, God wants us to remember when we came out, not what level of bondage was convenient. In other words, he don't want us remembering, well, you know, now I know we don't really say this to people, but you know, sometimes when the pressure gets turned up a little bit in life, you go like, well, was it really that bad back then? You know, when I was dating him, he was crazy, but he wasn't always crazy. Sometimes he really treated me nice. I mean, she was all right. Sometimes I just thought she was going to lose her mind, but sometimes she really was, because right now, the pressure of the moment make something like that look like, well, it wasn't always that bad. But notice what God really wants you to remember about bondage. Mm-hmm. He wants you to remember coming out of it. Oh, not when you thought it wasn't as bad as it, well, it wasn't always that bad. Yes, it's like when you, and I know, you know, sometimes we don't want to talk about this kind of stuff, but you know, when you're by yourself and you start thinking about, well, I remember when I was, you know, when I wasn't saved, people was calling me. Well, what kind of people was calling you? It was folks that you was going like, I wish they wouldn't call. But all you can remember now is they was calling. Because ain't nobody else calling now. So see, that ain't what God wants us to remember. He wants us to remember him setting us free, period. What he did for us. That's what's important. Hallelujah. See, during the challenges of life, we tend to remember the conveniences of our bondage. Go to Exodus 14. Exodus 14 and 10. Our suffering and affliction has a time release date. Lord, it ain't here yet. Don't just, that's all right. It's, God already know. He already got it taken care of. Especially those of us, when you know you've been praying about that thing and it ain't changing, it's got a release date. What you want to do is make sure that when you are released, you're released from it, but is it released from out of you? That becomes your responsibility. Exodus 14 and 10. You know, somebody said it ain't what we go through, it's how we go through. You out and you all bitter and nasty, you might as well stay in there. Because you're taking that thing with you. You know, we like to say we don't look like what we've been through. Some of us look like what we've been through. Because we still taking it with us. We look exactly like what we've been through. Exodus 14 and 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now, we need to take in consideration what's happening. This is 1 month after getting delivered. How long? 1 month. Now, God already, he wants us to remember the deliverance. 1 month later, they said it was better for us to serve the Egyptians than to be up out of here in this situation. Wow. A month. 430 years of bondage. And you got 1 month of freedom. And the first thing you want to do, I want to go back. It's better going back. Wait a minute. Don't shoot down your Egyptian brothers. I mean, your Israelite brothers and sisters now. Because you know what? God deliver us out of things. And you know what we think about? Going back. We think about the convenient times when it didn't seem like it was as bad. Look what they said. They weren't just talking about going back in the shackles. They said this. If there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? At least we had a grave there. Really? Really? The convenience of having a place to be buried is what you're concerned about now. He said, this is what we told you before. It was better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. You know what I'm learning? Everybody doesn't want what is best for them, because what's best for us requires faith in God. Let me share with you what I mean. The Israelites in Egypt didn't have to believe God for anything. They were slaves, so their masters fed them when they wanted to feed them. Their masters took care of them the way they wanted to take care of them. They didn't have to believe God for anything. But now out in the wilderness, they have to have faith in God. And instead of having faith in God, we'd rather serve the Egyptians. Don't knock them so bad, because sometimes instead of us trusting God, we'd rather just, I don't care. I'll take whatever. Instead of believing God for what he has for you, you're willing to just serve anybody and anything just because you don't want to trust him. I know. Just stick with me. It's going to get better. I said, leave me alone. I'm comfortable in my mess. You know, sometimes we, you know, I know y'all won't say this, but you know how you, and they call, and you know, it's one of the saints. They want to call and check on you, see how you're doing. Leave me alone. I just want to stay in my mess. I see their number. I don't feel like talking to them. I know they're going to say, how you doing? I don't feel like saying blessed and highly favored today. Then we start saying stuff like, that's why they got voicemail. No, see, you in your mess and you saying, leave me alone. I'd rather just serve the Egyptians. I don't want nobody to call me and try to provoke me to good works. How dare they do that? I don't want nobody to call and say, anything you want me to pray with you about, then I got to believe God. So I'm talking about moving forward, but forgetting Egypt. See, I just rather stay in my mess. See, back then I knew what to expect. So I'll run the light bill. I just feel they're going to keep putting it on the next month. Then I'm going to go see somebody else and get this taken care of. But I'm going to just, hey, I ain't going to face it. Why do that? Leave me alone. I'm in my mess. I'm enjoying this. I ain't got to trust God. I get to dodge stuff. Number two. And we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday. If you're following this series, I don't know how you get Wednesday stuff, but I would really get that because that was good. Because we were talking about moving forward in commitment versus interest. A lot of people are interested, but they're not committed. Jesus don't commit himself to people that's not committed. So, what? God ain't committed to everybody? No. You not either.
That's right.
And I found this out. Ain't nothing wrong with requiring commitment when you're willing to give it.
Amen.
So if you're willing to give commitment to somebody, be the first one to demand it from them too.
Amen.
Well, anyway, you might want to get that. So our commitment will be tested while moving forward. What do you mean? Well, God, okay, I responded to what you said do. That's got to be a sign of my commitment. That's what we think sometimes. And not that it's not a sign of moving with God and what he wants to do in your life. But please don't think that you won't be tested while moving with him.
Amen.
Because I found that some people think that, like, well, I've done what I need to do now.
Well,
there's always a testing. Listen, watch this. Exodus 16 and 2. It says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. First off, that wilderness is that place that leaves you totally dependent on God. When you get in a place where you totally dependent on God, you got to find somebody to complain to. When you ain't got yourself together, when you don't know what it's really about, when you really not trust, let me show you something. The person that's in the wilderness, so you totally dependent on God, when they still got Egypt in them, they're going to complain. Mature individuals begin to recognize this is just wilderness. It ain't going to always be like this. I'm passing through it. But the folks that are still full of Egypt, they're going to complain. You the problem. It's never them. It's never them. But they will fill your ear with complaint. Girl, I can't stand this. I don't believe. We don't work all year. This is a terrible time of the year. Seem like what the weather ain't right. Nothing is right. They in the wilderness. And instead of being mature, but you watch people after a period of time, you understand your complaint ain't doing you no good. But hold on, just bear with me. I'm talking about moving forward and forgetting Egypt. Verse 3. Like I told you, this is a month in. They are a month outside of Egypt. 430 years. You're a month later. Verse 3. The children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt. I wish God had killed us in Egypt. Really? And you're free now. See, some folks don't know what freedom is. When we sat by the flesh pots. When we did eat bread to the full, you was eating somebody else's bread, what they wanted you to have. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. We all going to die of hunger. We had everything we needed to eat when we was in Egypt. Bondage is not comfortable. There's nothing convenient about being in bondage.
That's right.
And let me share this with you this way. The inconveniences of being led by the Spirit are still better than the comforts of living beneath your privileges while in bondage. Yes, it may be inconvenient being led by the Spirit of God. He may move you sometimes that you really don't feel like moving. He may ask you to do something that you really don't feel like doing. But isn't that better than living beneath your privileges while in bondage? For some people, it's not. I'd rather have died in Egypt. Don't worry, you're going to get your chance. You know what? I get it. I get it. I really do. I get it and know why people complain about this. I get it. Because you got to pray now. You don't see nobody praying in Egypt. The only time you see them, the Bible says they cried out unto the Lord. It's done got beyond. This ain't a prayer situation no more. They cried out and the Lord heard their cry and responded. But see, now when you come out of Egypt, you got to pray. You got to actually depend on God. I get it why people complain, because they don't want to. You know why? Can you pray for me? Really? I understand when you first get started, because you're trying to learn how to do this. But you know what? God's going to help you learn how to pray. You're going to have situations where you need to pray. But I get it. What do you mean, Pastor? You get it? I get it. We have to trust God now. Something we see in Egypt, you didn't have to trust him. You were hooking and crooking to get everything you wanted. But never forget where you're going versus where you were. That's one of the things that I think trip believers up. Remember, we're going to a place far better than where we are. And watch this. You're far. I don't care who you are in here today. If you have a relationship with Christ, you are better off than you were when you were unsaved. The enemy may want you to take time to look at how much money you got in the bank now versus how much money you were stealing from everybody back then. But okay, ain't nobody trying to track you down now either. Amen. See, some, you know, it's amazing what people don't, you know, they choose when to say amen because it may incriminate you to know that you were that person. It ain't that it ain't true, it's just like, okay, I'll wait till you get past that one. I'll say amen on that next thing because they may know that I'm that person. Oh, yeah, folks was hooking and crooking. You was doing some stuff. Girl, I had all kind of money. How did you have it? You know, you hoping. Anybody see that, did they? You don't want to be found out. Who want to live like that? I mean, I look at, sometimes I watch some of those documentaries and stuff about some of the drug dealers. I mean, the big ones, like, you know, Pablo Escobar and people like that. You look, one of the first things you always see, you know, they show the beautiful homes, all of the cars and all, but do you always see the security guards? That's one of the things I always look at. So you can't sleep. I mean, you can't go. I'm not talking about an alarm system. I'm talking about people with armed weapons outside your place. That's the way you want to live? See, what has really happened is you just built a nice prison. That's all that is. It's a nice prison. I mean, Pablo Escobar wasn't going to the grocery store, y'all. He didn't go to Walmart to get something. You couldn't live like that. But people see all the stuff they have. Where are you going to drive your car to? You got to have an entourage in front of you and behind you. The Bible speaks to these people who are wealthy. They at night, they have to stay up to keep track of their money, hoping it don't get stolen, hoping something don't happen. That's not a way to live. But then they show this stuff to you and make it look so glamorous. Ooh, I want that. I don't want that. What am I going to do with that? I mean, everybody, you don't trust nobody. Nobody. And that's the way you live. Anyway. See, my freedom in Christ is better than bondage in the world. I don't care how you do it. Verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that they may prove them, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Now, I talked about your commitment's going to always be tested. Listen to this. God is willing to give you just enough for each day to see if you committed to his will or a carnal appetite. We ain't got nothing to eat. Back in Egypt, we had all of this food. We could eat to the full. So God said, I'm going to give you a certain rate every day. Not a whole bunch left over. Every day, just enough to see if you're going to obey me or not. Let me stop for a second. Because some of you all, this is where you are. God has talked to you about what's going to come into your life. But right now, what you have and what he said about what's coming are two different things. The reason is, you are just like the children of Israel. We're going to a land flowing in milk and honey, but let me test you and see if you can obey me right here. When it ain't flowing quite yet, will you still obey me? Are you still committed to me now? Because your commitment will always be tested, even when you're moving forward. Oh, yeah, you out of Egypt, but is Egypt out of you? Okay, number three. Number three, moving forward is dependent upon obeying instructions. Moving forward is dependent upon obeying instructions. Well, I'm moving forward. You know, interesting thing about the children of Israel, they didn't move when they just wanted to. This seemed like a good day, let's move. We said that your bondage, your affliction, your suffering has a time release date. God released them on the time that he had appointed already. He told them 400 years. So in the 400, the day, well, let's get back into the book. Exodus 16 and 12. But if you really read the text, God released them on the 430 years, the exact day he released them. Exodus 16 and 12, New Living Translation. So he says, I have heard the Israelites' complaints. See folks complaining. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. So now listen, God will give you what you need, but not necessarily the way you're accustomed to getting it. Okay, they're hungry. They want some meat and some bread. He said, I'm going to give it to you. No problem. You're going to get exactly what you want. Just not the way you think. Because this ain't Egypt, so don't expect it to be like that. Oh, that's good there. This ain't Egypt, so don't expect it to be like that. Sometimes you can't go to a different place and expect things to be like it was at the other place you were at. It's not appropriate for me to go to McDonald's and order a Whopper. You can have it your way, but just not that way here. Sometimes we move and expect things to be like they were at the other place. God is progressive. He is moving us. We've got to be open. What does God want to do now? What is he saying now? What does he mean now? Oh, we're going to get bread. Let's stay in the text here. Verse 13. That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. And the next morning, the area around the camp was wet with dew. So now I want you to look at this. 500,000, 2 million people. There's enough quails that just flew into the camp. Somebody talk to me. Can you imagine? First off, it's like, what does the sky look like with that many quails flying in? Wow. Now, you want some meat? No problem. So wait a minute. I'm sorry. If God will feed 2 million people, what are we concerned about him providing us for? I mean, what's the concern? I don't know if God can do. Wait a minute. He done it in the desert. You want duck in the desert? No problem. God can provide it. But see, sometimes we get in a situation and we think God can't do it. Because after all, look at my situation. It's only one of you. Think about that. It's only one of you. And God did this for that many people. It don't say nothing about nobody being hungry after he brought all of this stuff in there. He said, you better eat the full, to you full. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he actually let them get so far full. He said, all right, well, never mind. We'll deal with that later. So verse 14, when the dew evaporated, because now in the morning they found dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance, this is New Living Translation, as fine as frost blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it and said, what is it? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, it is the food the Lord has given you to eat. See, there are ways that God can provide for us that is beyond what we know. God didn't manufacture birds. They were already there. He just brought them in. But the bread, he did. I'm going to give you a second to process that. God gave them whatever manna was, it was some type of bread that God made for them and rained it down from heaven. God will cook for you. Well, I take y'all, y'all was so slow getting that, so I just had to speed it up so you could see it. He'll cook for you. They had, so you got all of the quails that just flew in. All you need to do is grab one. You ain't need, we have quail at night. Mm-hmm. That's it. They flew in. And then there's the bread that God provides for them. Just pick it up. But watch this. None of it was the way they expected. You know what's our problem? We expect it a certain way, and because we don't see that way being manifest, we automatically reject the fact that God can do anything. Well, God, you know, I ain't had no money in the bank, you know, Friday night, so I don't know what you're going to do. You know Monday morning, Lord, what they expecting. Oh, he can't do nothing over the weekend because the bank closed. I mean, come on. 2 million people. I mean, how many quails is that? I don't know how many quails you need. How many you need? How many? God wasn't even worried about it. Here y'all go. That's not a problem. How much bread you need? Here you go. But now watch this. I just want us to see the problem is getting Egypt out of us, not getting us out of Egypt. Look at verse 16. These are the Lord's instructions. Here we go. Here we go. All of a sudden, God doing something new. He ain't feeding us like he was in Egypt. And he's got instructions to come with this. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. In other words, every person in your tent, we all got different tents. Okay? We all have different needs. I may not need as much as you do. You may not need as much as I do. But we are to get what we need. Well, I want what Kareem got. See, here's the problem. Let me share something with you that I saw in this text. Greed is an evidence of distrust. Greed is an evidence of distrust. Amen. I don't believe I'm going to have enough for tomorrow, so I better get me some extra. Yeah. No, you're supposed to get what you need today. Well, what is it? Bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. I'm going to get as much as I can. See? What do you need? How about your daily bread? God, what are we going to do next week? How about today? I know the type, but it's right. I'm just saying, you know. How'd that happen? Okay. Look at this. Verse 17. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Sounds wonderful. Some gathered a lot, some only a little, because they had more bigger families and smaller families. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over. Those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. See, it's still about, are we willing to obey God with just what we need? See, I know some of us, this is where we are right now, and you're trying to figure out why is it like this? Why? It's because now you're being tested. Will you obey God? No, Lord, I'm believing God for millions, but you can't handle just what you need. You don't even trust God with that. Okay, verse 19. Then Moses told them, okay, here come the instructions. Do not keep any of it until morning. Verse 20. What could possibly happen after a clear instruction like that? I mean, what he didn't speak in tongues. Everything was clear. It was even a short sentence. Don't keep any of it until morning. Nothing so long and drawn out that I can't remember. What did he say again? No, just don't keep any of it until the morning. Verse 20, what could possibly happen after that? But some of them didn't listen. So some of them didn't listen and kept some of it until the morning. Why? Because they were greedy. Because they didn't trust God. Greedy people don't trust God. But by then, it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. It died because you wasn't supposed to keep it. Look at this. Obedience to godly instructions lead to life, but disobedience to godly instructions lead to death. The manna rotted. She wasn't supposed to keep it. Wasn't supposed to keep it overnight. What was the instruction? I want to do my own thing. That's fine. It's going to die. What's your house smell like? Your tent all. We know who kept something that they weren't supposed to keep. Nah. Look, it says that there was an odor, a terrible smell. You could tell who kept what they weren't supposed to keep. You could tell who the greedy person is. Well, y'all looking all around now. You can look all sweet. What's that smell coming out of your house? Verse 21. After this, the people gathered the food morning by morning. Each family according to its need. I ain't had this stuff stinking up my house. And as the sun became hot, the flakes they had not picked up melted and disappeared. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much as usual. Four quarts for each person instead of two. Then all the leaders of the community came and asked Moses for an explanation. What God had told them was, listen, on the sixth day, I'm going to give you a double portion. So you won't have to come out on the seventh day. So don't fool with stuff on the seventh day. That's the Sabbath. That's my gift to you so that you don't have to do any work on the Sabbath. So I'm going to give you a double portion on the sixth day. Okay, now, I know some folks can't obey when I give you enough for one day. So I know how folk are. Some will give you some. I will give you a double portion on one day to cover 2 days. What could possibly go wrong with that? Look at this. Verse 23. He told them. So he's explaining, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath day set apart for the Lord. So bake or boil as much as you want today and set it aside for tomorrow. Now, here's an interesting thing. Remember what happened when they set it aside before? Maggots, rotten, and everything, okay? Verse 24, so they put some aside until morning, just as Moses had commanded. And in the morning, the leftover food was wholesome and good without maggots or odor. The difference was in the instructions they were given. See, if we're going to move forward with God, we've got to be open to his instructions when he say it. If you found yourself and you're in that position where you recognize that, okay, this is wilderness because I ain't got it, it is not flowing like it's supposed to be flowing. Okay, what's the instructions that God gave you? What should you be doing now? If you are holding on to too much, it's going to die. Why? You know, because what he's dealing with is your heart. Your heart is saying, I don't trust you. Now you say, well, Lord, I'm not used to trusting you. He know that. That's why he teaching you. So we won't have to just come in here and when Miss Candace decides to sing that he's faithful, you know, and he's accountable, we'll be, yeah, he's faithful and accountable. But Lord, I don't trust you. He's trying to move you to the place where you can say that for you. It's no longer a song. It's what you really believe because you're experiencing that with him. So stop kicking against it. Stop fighting it and understand what God's doing in your life. He is bringing you to a place where you will appreciate the daily bread. I know. All of us would love to never have to balance your checkbook. Hallelujah. Some of y'all don't balance it anyway. See, some of y'all, I don't care. Catch me if you can. Hallelujah. See, how are we going to ever handle the real wealth God wants to bring to us? You got to be a good steward. More of us required of a steward that he be found faithful. You got to be faithful. And the Bible says if you're not faithful over another man, Holy Spirit. If you worked for me and you didn't care how much of my money you spent, I got a problem with you. You're not going to be that long. There are, for some reason, people sometimes don't feel as much of a conviction spending somebody else's money as they do theirs. You know, like your kids. Your kids can spend your money big time. But soon as you say, this is yours, it's like, well, I'm saving this. I mean, wait a minute. The money is the same color, everything. It has the same value. How is it that automatically a light goes on for the kids when you say, this is your money? Versus, this is my money. Go get so-and-so. Well, you know, with their money, they look at how much that costs. With your money, like, give me two of them. What? I mean, what's the difference? We doing steak today. Why? It's your money. When it's their money, you want a burger? What is that? We do that same thing with God. And he's expecting you to be a good steward. Because what you say with your children is, okay, you're not really ready to handle the money there. You're not really ready to handle what I can give you. So what you think God's saying to you now? You're not really ready to handle it. They weren't ready for the land flowing with milk and honey. You're trying to steal manna. You're trying to steal what God's giving you every day for that day. See, y'all got me out there. So they put aside until morning, just as Moses had commanded. In the morning, the leftover food was wholesome and good. So we said the difference was in the instructions that they were given. See, each circumstance may have its own instructions. Don't assume that just because this is what we done last time, that, okay, now God has us doing this. Okay, Lord, what do you want to do? He gave the instructions already. We can't assume that it was just like it was before. Verse 25, and we're moving. Moses said, eat this food today, for today is a Sabbath day dedicated to the Lord. There will be no food on the ground today. You may gather the food for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. There will be no food on the ground that day. What could possibly happen? Some of the people went out anyway on the seventh day, but they found no food. He said on the sixth day, gather all you need for the seventh day. Now, you know, we're going to walk outside the tent and look. Now, why are they over there trying to get that? Didn't he say, just like you found those folks who decided to keep something and their tent was smelling, these other people are out in the open, exposed, looking for something that ain't there. What it does is it shows people that don't trust God. Some of us have been those people. But we don't want to be those people moving forward. Amen. See, a carnal appetite can motivate us to obey clear instructions. It's what we want, not what God wants. Let me close with this. Verse 28. The Lord asked Moses. Now, this is so interesting to me. It said the Lord asked Moses, how long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? You ever been in a situation and you're doing something and you just turn around to somebody and say, why are they doing this? I mean, you're not really asking them why, because you know. It's like this is what God did with Moses. How long are they going to just keep doing this? I tell them don't go out on this day, they go out. I tell them don't collect more than they should, they collect more than they should. How long are they going to keep refusing to obey my commands and my instructions? Now, you know Moses ain't got no answer. Nope. Moses is going like, Lord, that's what I wanted to ask you. How long are we going to keep refusing God's commands and instructions because we're really trying to make things convenient for us? I'm learning this. Whatever state you're in now, be content with it. Because you're in it now for a reason. Not that you're not going to get anywhere, not that God don't have something better for you, but right now, how are you processing your current situation? Are you murmuring and complaining? You know, those people die in the wilderness. How we handle where we are now determines if we're going to get to where we need to go.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
See, moving out of Egypt was never a problem. The problem was moving Egypt out of the people. You look, it's amazing when you look. The story was not different. One day, they all march out. But 40 years to get the rest of that out of them. The Bible says this. So God, he said, the Bible says, the Lord asked Moses, how long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? So all along, God was watching how people responded to his instructions. See, when you were in your bondage, you couldn't respond. Now that you're free, how are you responding? When you look at Israel in their bondage, the only thing God did was he heard their cry. Now he's watching their response because they're free now. You're free to respond how you want to. You're free to obey God if you want to. So how are you responding? The Bible says, I believe it's Proverbs 15 and 13, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So what is God seeing in your life? See, we can't see in your tent. We don't know if you got stuff in there you shouldn't have. See, and if we in our tent like we supposed to, we don't know if you outside yours when you're supposed to be in there. Why? Because we're trying to deal with our own tent. But watch this. The Lord is watching. What is he seeing in your life? Is he seeing evil? Or is he seeing good? Is he seeing obedience or is he seeing disobedience? Eventually, we're going to know who's disobedient.
Yes.
Because they don't make it out the wilderness. Every head bowed, eyes are closed just for a moment. I am doing what I believe the Lord has called me to do in regard to us moving forward. Because I know that there are sometimes some challenges to moving with the Lord in the sense of not always understand. Some of us want to know everything that's going to happen, how it's going to happen. Well, that's not always the way God does it. And we have to learn to be open to that. I also know that there are times where God does some things and it's not the way we expect it to be done. Yes, we were believing God or trusting him, we thought. Because the reality was we were trusting God to do what we wanted him to do the way we wanted him to do it. And all of a sudden, God comes a whole different way and it surprises us. We're like the people who were there and they said, the Bible says they were puzzled and said, what is this? But it's God providing for us in his way, in his time. Now, some of us, that provision is not just money. It's those things that we need to survive in our wilderness state. Well, Lord, I want to have somebody here that I could just talk to. Well, they bring the person to you, and it's not who you thought, the way you thought. And you don't even like that. And you're saying, what is this? See, God knows exactly what we need and how we need it. But you're going to have to learn to trust that this is what's best for us. This is what's best for me, whether I understand it or not. Because why would God get you out of a situation, free you, and leave you to die in the wilderness? He's not doing that. But we don't want to be those individuals that God says, when are these people going to stop refusing to obey my instructions and my commands? Today, I wanted to share with you us moving forward, but forgetting Egypt, because I feel that there are some things that we need to forget. Some things that we've carried with us that weren't necessary. It's interesting that the only things that God had the people of Israel to carry out of Egypt was the stuff he told them to carry. You don't need to go back and get anything else other than what he told you to carry. And some of us have picked up some other things. Boy, I remember how they treated me before. And if I ever get in charge, this is what I'm going to do. And is that really the attitude he wanted you to carry to your next place? Is that really what God wanted you? See, he freed you from it for a reason. Don't you become what you left. I'm saying that because some of you all are about to go into some positions. Okay, Holy Spirit. Some of you all, you're about to be promoted. It may not even be on your current job, but you're about to be promoted. That's you coming up out of this wilderness experience. But God's getting Egypt out of you. So he don't want you to be Pharaoh on the next job. But if you're so bitter because of what they've done to you there, how in the world are you going to treat people fairly when you get to where God wants you? You're still stuck with that. You have to get over it. You have to forget it. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. It's amazing that the Apostle Paul would write that, because this is the same man who stood when they were stoning Stephen. He stood there and kept everybody's clothes. Later on, Paul writes in the New Testament and says, I've wronged no man. He was able to forget those things that were behind him. Really? Moses, you never hear Moses talking about being a murderer. Because he was able to forget those things that was behind him. You can't move forward unless you forget Egypt. Heavenly Father, I pray for those that are under the sound of my voice today. Lord, I know that sometimes we grapple and wrestle with things from our past. But Lord, you said in your word, forgetting those things that are behind us, Lord, that we can indeed press on toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Lord, help us to begin to walk as new creatures in our mind, recognizing we don't have to think like we did. Lord, some of us had bad performances. Some of us done the wrong thing in the past. And now we're punishing ourselves as we go into our future. Because, Lord, what we did in Egypt was when we were in bondage. God, what we do now is when we walk in the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. Those things are passed away. A bad performance doesn't make a bad person. It just makes a bad performance. God, I pray today that a spirit of liberty will come upon your people. The Lord, as we can find those things that indeed we have done, but let a spirit of liberty come that would free us in our mind, that we could move forward and forget Egypt for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.